Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus. It is Friday, December 9th. Today's show is presented by Geico, so just Geico can see all the ways that you could save. We are four wide today as well. Field, Stefania, Mike, and myself breaking down everything heading into week 14, which includes a Thursday night football game that
awesome.
I don't want to talk about.
No, you do.
I don't.
I know you don't, but we do.
Everyone else wants to. So we're going to do that as well. But first and foremost, hello. It's nice to see all of your beautiful faces. I'm still not used to doing the Friday show, so it's a little different for me.
Wait, it's nice to see us?
Yes,
Did you just say like seconds before we came on the air, you were like, what'd you say?
It's very important you don't suck today.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because so, yeah, I'm on the
that's
show.
That's a difference between Daniel like...
What are you talking about?
On air and off air.
I would say, oh, whereas you right, are now, just mean just a, on air all that, the time.
It's exactly right.
That's
at least
it. Okay.
I'm honest with who I am.
Got it. Consistency. Mike Clay very high in Tristan's consistency rankings this year.
That's right. Consistently a jerk since he won one race in the go-kart track.
You guys. It's the holiday season. Can we all just get along?
Look, this I came in feeling good today, and then this guy's like, don't suck today.
Well, let's talk
seconds
about...
Seconds before we started.
I'll tell you what.
Mike, we're dropping it.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
I don't want
everybody.
Mom, thank you.
Like, come on, let's start. Look, peace, love, joy. Isn't that what the holidays are about?
That is what the holidays
spreading
are about,
cheer,
Stefania.
Except for the Raiders.
Someone was spreading cheer all around last night. His name was Baker Mayfield. And by all around last night,
let's start there because put this aside for a second. I know Daniel's disappointed because the Lions own the Rams first round pick.
Only reason why.
That's the only reason why. Still, if I had told you 14 weeks into the season, the Rams would be 4-9. You'd sign up for that 100 times out of 100.
Right?
It's still going to be a very valuable pick, whether it's top 5, 8, 10. It's a great pick for you guys. It's going to be a difference-making player. I know that Baker Mayfield's not going to register on the fantasy radar for most. I don't think he'll be inside my top 10 next week or top 15, maybe not even the top 20 against the Green Bay Packers. We'll save that conversation for next week when we dive into it. If you love sports, this is a great sports moment. Baker Mayfield, certainly not the most popular player in the NFL. People think he's a little bit too brash for their own liking, and certainly more commercials than critical wins of late has been a problem for Baker Mayfield. I get it. I get why he has been an easy player to root against. Last, it's a cool story, though. Came back 48 hours after arriving with the Rams, leads them to that comeback. Cool sports moment. Like, if you're a Raiders fan, I get it. You're disappointed. Mm. If you have no horse in the race, last night was a cool sports moment.
Can we really quickly talk about why you do play single high coverage on that final play? Is that a thing we can talk about? No? All right. Well, let's talk some fantasy stuff.
There's some nuance to it. But yeah, obviously, it was probably a call they wish they had back. But it's a tricky.
Let's start with the Raiders real quickly, because I think the Raiders, listen, Josh Jacobs, and Field, you mentioned it almost before the show. It's tough to feel like Josh Jacobs sort of had like an average day. It was fairly average across the board. And still, what's an average day for Josh Jacobs?
Like, at the end of the game, I was kind of like, that was all right from Josh Jacobs. How great was it, though? 19.4 fantasy points.
That's pretty
great. You didn't feel great about it. You got 19.4 fantasy points from Josh Jacobs, who had 27 carries, who had 99 rushing yards, who had 2 catches, who had a touchdown. He also left the game briefly, Stefania, for a hand issue, and apparently is okay.
He did. I mean, when he got up to leave, I was like, is it the quad? Is it the calf? No, it's his hand. It's something else. Went back, got some x-rays, came back, continued to play.
He's having a very Derrick Henry-like stretch right now. 5 straight games with 26 touches or more. He's obviously more prolific in the passing game than Derrick Henry. Not quite as prolific as a rushing touchdown maker as Derrick Henry in seasons past, but simply ridiculous. Mike has him ranked near the top of his projections every single week, and another illustration of why Mike is the GOAT. He is correct in that assessment.
Devontae Adams had a disappointing day, not because of Devontae Adams, only 10 fantasy points, but this offense just struggled to be able to move the ball.
All in the first half?
Yep.
You felt good at the first half, right?
First
Mike,
half.
You were like, sweet, I got 10 fantasy points at halftime and no touchdowns.
And that's it? Yeah. I mean, it's Devontae Adams. Like, he was he's a lineup lock. He has a couple duds this season. That's fine, right? You can deal with that because it's a guy that's top 5. He's going to finish top 5, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
So with all the things that we just talked about, understanding Baker Mayfield may not be ranked inside our top 10 or top 12 or top 15 next week, how does he impact any of the Rams within this offense, Mike? Is he going to make any of them rise to the level of being fantasy worthy?
I don't think so. I don't think
not
so at all.
Ben Skoranek.
No, Ben Skoranek had a decent second half, or good second half,
good
let's
second
be honest.
Half,
Tyler Higbee didn't do much. Jefferson caught the game-winning touchdown, but was pretty quiet before that. I don't think you feel great about any of these guys. And let's be honest, Baker Mayfield had a great finish to that game. You know, he's going to learn the offense. He'll be better at that going forward. But he is not a good fantasy quarterback. He's never been, even in good situations. Over the last 2 seasons combined, He has one top 10 finish.
Yeah.
He doesn't add anything with his legs. He doesn't have a lot of passing upside. I don't want us to get too carried away with that, thinking this is a guy I'm going to go out and get on waivers. I'm struggling a quarterback. He's going to help me out in the fantasy playoffs. That's not going to happen. So
yeah,
I just don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Only thing that I will add is that I don't know that Ben Skoranek, that John Wolford / Bryce Perkins had led us to the Ellinger zone where the offense was completely non-functional, right. That it just zapped all the life out of basically everybody. But it wasn't very good. And Baker Mayfield, I think, brings a pulse to the passing game, which it's not like I'm going to have Ben Skoranek ranked inside my top 30 for wide receivers next week. It's possible, though, that if we get three straight good Ben Skoranek games, that if you're in an injury situation and you're deep into your playoffs and you play in a deeper league, he might crack that flex right. That's the only thing that as far as I will go for right now, that Rams passing offense.
They have the Packers next week, which is going to be tough. That's going to be tough on the road. I mean, Packers
defense. Monday Night Football.
And then it's they have a tough game after that, too, I think. I can't remember what
it is. I can't remember either. Yeah.
It's like I don't think it's the Niners, but it's somebody good. It's like a really good defense.
I got a friend that does a bunch of strength of schedule stuff. I'll ask him when we're done with the show.
Yeah, okay. No idea.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Let's talk about some game previews.
Well, the only last thing is just Cam Akers once again. He had the lead. Now, he only played 7 more snaps than Kyren Williams. Mm-hmm. Wasn't nearly as decisive, but back-to-back games of looking a little bit more like Cam Akers, separate apart from utilization, looked a little bit more like the runner we saw at the end of his rookie season.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's like Gus Edwards.
At the beginning of the year, I was like, this guy looks cooked.
Oh, yeah.
That if he went on waivers, would not get claimed.
Uh-huh.
Now he looks like a guy that if this offense bounces back next year and they have all the pieces in place, could have legitimate fantasy value, which I know it's like a radioactive thing to say because everybody is so down on him after how this season has gone. But I'm feeling better about Cam Akers going forward than I was 2 weeks ago.
We'll have some fun with this in the offseason, I think, but I suspect they're going to add a one. I think they'll go try to find a running back one. Don't you think so? After what's happened this year with that situation? Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, but they love Kyren Williams.
I know they don't have a lot of assets.
Cooper Kupp. They like Cooper Kupp.
Deep running back class and free agency. I think
a fair number.
Field, when you say going forward, you're specifically talking about next year, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm just saying maybe in a deep league for the rest of this season as well. But just a month ago, I thought Cam Akers might be relegated to a practice squad at some point this season. Now he looks like a guy that belongs and has gotten more opportunity and just looks a little more spry than where he was a month or a month and a half ago.
All right. Let's talk now some game previews.
Game previews.
Yesterday, we talked Vikings, Lions, Browns, Bengals, Eagles, Giants, and the Panthers and Seahawks. Go back and listen to that show if you want to listen to those game previews. Today, we're talking Jets and Bills. Lineup locks for this game include Garrett Wilson, Josh Allen, and Stephon Diggs. Stephon, I want to start with you on Michael Carter. Do we expect to have him in the backfield for the Jets?
We do. He's off the injury report. Hasn't been there all week. I fully expect him to play, but as I asked the question, they love Bam Knight. They love the speed that Bam Knight brings. They love his energy. And I think that Bam Knight's likely to get the majority of the carries here, even though Michael Carter's going to be available.
So, Mike, understanding that Michael Carter likely will be available, mm-hmm. like Stefania said, how are you ranking these two running backs?
Yeah, this is tough. I guess we'll see really how much they like Bam Knight now that Michael Carter's back. But yeah. I have them very close. I have Knight 26. I have Carter actually just ahead at 23rd with the thinking that carries will be similar. Maybe Knight does have an edge in that department, but Carter, you would expect to have the passing down work.
Yeah.
And we kind of saw that. Knight did have 5 targets last week, but Ty Johnson came in and had 7 targets. We saw a little James Robinson, but I think it's kind of a toss-up. If you have either one, you can consider them flex options. Just keep in mind, Carter, very much limited ceiling. Over 10.1 fantasy points in one of his last 6 games, only 3 of 11 games this season. So not a lot of upside, but if he gets 10 carries and 5 targets, that could pay off flex value. So both of them, again, 12-team leagues, especially flex options.
Absolutely. When you look at the other side of the football, because that's really it for the Jets. There's no one else from the Jets we're talking about. Field, James Cook is a running back. We watched him get a little bit of usage last week. You think that's going to continue here to be useful here this week?
A theme in week 14 is a bunch of backfields that you have not exactly any idea what to do with. We'll talk about a lot of them on the show, whether it's Miami, whether it's Buffalo, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the Lions. We know kind of what to do there, but still, the Lions, as we talked about yesterday, DeAndre Swift could have 30 carries or could have three, and neither would surprise me come Sunday. The Bills are kind of in this same boat as James Cook is coming off of a season and career high, both in terms of carries, also in targets and touches, plus fantasy points. Last Thursday night against the Patriots, looked good by all accounts, played one less snap than Devin Singletary and played nine more snaps than Nyheim Hines. So it's still a legitimate three-man committee, and who's to say that... I don't know for a fact that he's going to get more time. He looked good, and you would think that like playing better would lead to more playing time. Devin Singletary is still a valuable part of this Bills offense. They love him. He got the goal line touch last week. So I have Devin Singletary and James Cook ranked very close to each other, but I do have Cook ranked as the highest ranked Bills running back. He's RB28. You just don't know. Like, he could get seven carries on Sunday and three targets, and that would come as no shock whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's why I have Singletary just a little bit ahead, because he should have the consistent role that he's had for all pretty much all season. Whereas Cook, I mean, he had that big game the week before. He had four touches in that game, right? So could he just disappear? At least with Singletary, you feel a little bit more secure. Cook might have more upside right now, though. So I totally hear you. But yeah, I mean, how often do you feel great starting a running back from a three-headed committee?
Right. Yeah.
Not really. Like you don't feel great about it. These are
flex
options.
That might be the story of the week for this week in fantasy football. And there's six teams on a bye. So the options are limited just in terms of the number of teams available. Then you multiply that by backfield committees. It's a tough time for running backs.
And you still have Cook 28th and your highest on. To our point.
Yeah.
It's tough when three guys are involved.
Gabe Davis, I think the only other person I'm looking at in this offense, and probably the same thing we've talked about, Gabe Davis all season long. He's a low-end wide receiver three here, and if you've got him, you're trusting him because you're riding that roller coaster.
Spin the wheel with Gabe Davis. Now, I will say it's been kind of sputtering a bit more of late. Hard to feel totally confident. I think Gabe Davis is a talented guy. I think I got a little bit carried away with just how talented I thought he was at the beginning of the season. And I think maybe like generating separation consistently is going to be an area of his game that's going to be the difference between him becoming a difference-making player and a good player. Now, we got carried away in part because he had four touchdowns against the Chiefs in a playoff game last year. I have to go back and look at those closely and say, like, how many of those are like man-to-man coverage opportunities down the field where it's just like he outruns a defensive back who probably has been replaced by the Chiefs because they basically replaced their entire secondary this offseason, right? So, I'm not sorry. He's a good player, right? I think I thought that he was going to elevate this year immediately to a great player. Hasn't happened. And for that reason, when we're assessing his fantasy value, he's closer to wide receiver 30 than he is wide receiver 20.
And by the way, if you want a reason to sit him this week, these teams played once before this season. It was the only time this season the Jets have shadowed. DJ Reed shadowed Stephon Diggs. Sauce Gardner shadowed Gabriel Davis, who was covered by Reed or Gardner throughout that entire game.
How about that?
Tough matchup. And he didn't do so hot in that one. Diggs was fine. I think every other pass catcher on the Bills was under 35 yards.
Imagine what the tenor of this conversation would be if Gabe Davis didn't have a touchdown catch last week on an absurd play by Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like Josh Allen, who jumped out of bounds and threw a touchdown pass because he's an absolute cyborg. He'd have, I think it would have been like one catch for 3 yards for Gabe Davis. He's a tricky one.
Yeah, looking for more consistency, man. Hopefully this offseason we get to find some things with Gabe Davis.
Yeah, all right. But at, you know, at this point, like, yes, you're looking for more consistency, but you can't count it. You just have to play him, and you have to decide that it's a risk you're willing to take.
Texans at Cowboys.
Texas
is our
State
next
Championship,
matchup.
Texas forever.
All right, our lineup blocks include Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, both of the running backs in this backfield, CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz. That's almost all the Cowboys. We'll talk about Dak in a minute. But Stefania, we need to talk about some injuries to the Texans first with both of their wide receivers.
Yeah, Brandon Cook's not going to play. He's got a calf injury. He's going to sit. And then Nico Collins dealing with a foot issue, hasn't practiced either of the 2 days. Don't think he's going to play. I'm told he's very, very iffy, but I just doesn't look great.
I just want to start by saying congratulations to Al Zeidenfeld on winning $50,000 somehow this week with Chris Moore in his DFS lineup.
Oh my gosh,
it's going to happen, right? Like, or whatever, like Philip Dorsett. Someone's going to win Mike too, probably, but Al Zeidenfeld, like my mortgage worth of money on Sunday because he's going to play some random Texans wide
receiver. I was just going to say that. Let's play the game. So it's Dorsett and Moore.
Yeah.
Who's the third receiver? The only other wide receiver on
that's
the active
actually
roster.
On the active roster right now. It would be, no.
This is a fun one.
Hold on. Keep talking. I'll see if I can think of it over as you guys
he was
discuss.
On another team earlier this season who drafted him on day two last year.
Day two last year.
Oh, is it still? Is it Tyron Johnson? No, he got waived. It's not
this,
Tyler
this
Johnson.
This player was
either.
Waived by a team.
It's not Tyler Johnson. He got waived by them as well.
No, this guy's first initial and last name are the same as a really good quarterback he used to play with.
Gosh.
That's a good hint, actually.
Okay, who is it?
A. Rogers.
Amari Rogers. Okay.
Yeah, by the Packers recently. He's their third receiver. He might be their third receiver.
Yikes.
Jalen Camp off the practice squad will probably play. I mean, that's what they're dealing with.
Don't
start any of those guys.
Don't start any of them.
Again, unless you're Al Zeidenfeld and you have the magic touch with DFS.
Dak Prescott?
Only thing, I just want to add one thing on the lineup blocks. Normally we don't, but just... If you're sitting there looking at the ranks and you're like, wow, two Cowboys running backs in the top 14, is that just because of the fact that there are six teams on a bye? This is the tastiest matchup for all running backs in the NFL. Like, the Cowboys might run the ball 50 times on Sunday. Wouldn't totally surprise me. I still have Dak ranked. I think we'll talk about him in a second. But like, this game script could look like the Miami game script from a few weeks back where the Cowboys were up so big. The two of them playing that he played one drive in the second half. The running backs could each have 15 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown on Sunday. They really could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dallas is going to run it every time if they can. They'll run 100% of the time if they possibly can, and it might work in this game, to your point.
I mean, are you sitting? Like, it's probably too risky to sit Dak as a result of that, right?
No, I think you can. I have him QB 11. You're 12, so you're a little lower. So
yeah,
you
but
definitely
still,
can.
Like, that's on the board a lot. Like, you'd have
certainly.
To have a pretty darn good option to replace him.
But here's
him
the thing. Limited pass volume anyway. So even in normal situations, they're running the ball a ton. He has 1 week finished better than QB9 this season. That was QB4. Now he missed some games, fine. But still, he hasn't had much upside because they're not throwing it enough. And also, I've made this point many, many times, and this is part of why I was not overreacting to what Deshaun Watson did last week. Teams don't throw against Houston, and they don't give up really anything to quarterbacks. Second fewest touchdowns and fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. No quarterbacks have gotten to 22 fantasy points against them this season. None. Yeah. There's no upside there.
They're just going to run it.
I think you absolutely can justify benching Dak in this game.
Okay. What about Dameon Pierce on the other side real quick? We're okay to start Dameon Pierce against
the
Cowboys?
Yeah. So still, he's still going to get 80% of the carries. He's going to get 10, 12% of the targets. It's going to be 15 or so carries and 2, 3, 4 targets. He's fine. You start guys like that.
Okay. All right. Let's move on and talk.
Right, Stefania?
Right.
You
we love
Dameon Pierce. Jaguars at Titans here. Next one up, we got Travis Etienne, Christian Kirk, and Derrick Henry as our lineup locks for this game. Stefania, we got a couple of injuries. Let's start with Treylon Burks, who had a scary injury in last week's game.
Had a concussion in the concussion protocol, not practicing. I think you can plan on Treylon Burks being out. And Trevor Lawrence, the other one you want to ask me about, Trevor Lawrence with a foot. I don't know how he ended up with a toe injury after what you saw. It looked like ankle, knee, anything but he did say his toe is feeling a lot better than it did originally after the game. And his plan is to play. We'll see what they do on Friday. But he's definitely doing better, whether they decide they're going to play him this week or not. Remains to be seen.
Keep your eyes on this one for sure. Because, again, as I said, when the coach is noncommittal and the quarterback is certain, I'm going to err on the side of the coach because it's the coach's responsibility to be mindful of the long-term impact for this player. And while they are playing better football this year, they're still very much on the outside looking in. As the playoff picture is concerned, we'll see whether or not Trevor Lawrence gives it a go this week. But I think we'll have some clarity.
There's a medical testing to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll have some clarity, though, I think, by the middle of the day.
I don't think the
coach
knew when he said that.
Unless
he's making a coaching decision that's outside the complete realm of what is going on with.
I hope that he's available just because I think he's good for Christian Kirk and I think for Zay Jones as well. I think he brings a lot more value to Zay Jones than whoever the backup quarterback would be for Jacksonville, Mike.
Yeah, how about 31 targets in his last three games for Zay Jones?
He's been busy.
And he's been kind of underrated in the target department all season, but that volume has been huge.
Yeah,
he's top 20 in catches among receivers this season. Yeah. He just, you know, he had a lot of games where he would catch a lot of balls and still have like 35 yards and stuff and wasn't useful in fantasy. But remember, 2 weeks ago, career high 14 targets, had 145 yards. He has been good as of late, and he's playing Tennessee. Most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers this season. 22 receivers have gotten to double-digit fantasy points against him this season. So
I'd love to do a blind resume of Zay Jones and Diontae Johnson because you would unequivocally pick Zay Jones right now
if he has
the option. And yet I'm sure that if you were to look at roster start percentages this upcoming Sunday, Zay Jones would be much lower than Diontae
Johnson. I mean, if you
were
setting your own lineup and you had Zay or Diontae, you would just be like Diontae, right? Like you just naturally want to go.
Yeah, we'll talk about Diontae in a second from a health perspective. I'm just saying, just from all things being equal.
Exactly.
Zay
just has that name value.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, that's really it for this game. It's really, we've been really tight with where it is we're at with the fantasy perspective.
Well, at this point of the season, right? Like, you gotta have the information you need. And so, Zay Jones, just to put a number to it, Mike has him at 27. I've got him at 28. Dan, you have him at 31. So we all value him in a similar light, a low-end wide receiver 3.
Yep. All right, Ravens.
And that changes if Trevor Lawrence sits, obviously.
Of course, mm-hmm. of course. And we'll talk about that on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday. Yeah. Make sure you check in 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2. All right, Ravens at Steelers is our next matchup. Going through Mark Andrews and Pat Freiermuth. The lineup locks are tight ends. That's how you know how good this game is.
Because you have to. You're playing them because you have to.
And they're like two of the only viable tight ends in the league.
People of Andrews are like, wait, how viable is he? Yeah.
Stefania, we have a handful of injuries from this game. I'm really just going to hand it over to you and let you dump out the bucket.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson, look, we talked about the fact that he has a PCL sprain and that John Harbaugh said it could be anywhere from a week to 3 weeks, but it never really looked like he was going to play this week, and I certainly don't expect him to. I expect him to sit this week. I think it's actually going to get trickier when we're talking about him being likely to play. So I expect Tyler Huntley to be under center this week. The interesting one, J.K. Dobbins, who has been gone for a while. I think he last played in week 6. Last week we talked about the Ravens saying he was close and John Harbaugh saying maybe he would be in play for this week. He's non-committal. You know, it's an interesting matchup. It's a big rival, the Steelers. They don't want to give anything away. So J.K. Dobbins does have a chance to play, and I think they're excited at how he looks. He had another procedure to have scar tissue removed, and, you know, maybe he's got a little more bounce in his step now. So we'll see if he's active this week, but certainly a possibility. And then Deontay Johnson was downgraded in practice yesterday because of a hip issue. So I think going from limited to not practicing at all, something to keep an eye on. Najee Harris still on the injury report because of an oblique, but upgraded on Thursday. He's already played through it. I don't expect him to be limited.
I want to start by saying that I went to Staples yesterday. And if you're wondering why'd you go to Staples, I went and bought a chalkboard. And I wrote 100 times on that chalkboard, I will not call him Brent Hundley. I will not call him Brent Hundley. I will not call him Brent Hundley. I have graduated from Brent Hundley to Tyler Huntley. My apologies to Snoop. I will not make that same mistake on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday or for the rest of the show. And I have him as quarterback 15 on my board. We talked about how he was last year. He had 4 starts. He had 1 absolutely ridiculous start, and then 3 very ho-hum starts. He was good last week in relief duty. He's a very good runner. He's going to average probably, or however long he starts, let's call it 3 games, probably average somewhere between 7 and 12 carries. Mm-hmm. Probably gets you around 40 rushing yards per game on average. Might sprinkle in one more touchdown in there as well. The passing game is what you are more concerned about because no Ravens quarterback has been particularly prolific under center passing for the past 2 seasons, mm-hmm. and the wide receivers still remain a major concern for Baltimore, which is why I have him as quarterback 15 and not much higher in my ranks.
Yeah, well said. And this is a great matchup. You think Steelers, you think really tough matchup. They're going to put a lot of pressure on, slow down, you know, not allow you to score many points, but they're top 5 in yards and fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks this season. So passing touchdowns and passing yards to quarterbacks this season. So on top of what he can do as a rusher, maybe he does a little extra with his arm because the matchup is so good. The Steelers have about 23 passing touchdowns already.
It's I believe
big
it's 24, actually.
24?
24. They're tied with Arizona and KC for the most at 24.
Okay. I have 23, but, you know.
Wow. Once again, Mike Clay not doing his research. Oh, what else?
Wow.
I don't know. We'll have to look into that one.
Right now. We'll have to go.
Keep an eye on this one. TJ Watt maybe downgraded in practice yesterday, too.
I don't love that.
Injuries, a lot of random running back touchdown. Sorry. That's probably it. That's not good for TJ, huh? Why would he put like...
It just makes things that much nicer for Tyler Huntley.
For Tyler Huntley? Yeah, it really does.
If, in fact, he were to not play. I mean, who knows? Sometimes teams will deliberately give a player a day off in between and then have them come through the walkthrough if it's the heaviest day, but not really clear what the rationale was there. So just check out TJ Watt's status. Okay.
He's very good. Mike Clay, as usual, wrong with the numbers. 24 is a confirmed number.
Okay. Well, so we have to figure this out. Was there like a wide receiver?
So I think you
like
were saying they've allowed 23 passing touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks. Okay,
yeah.
Got it. I was looking at the overall number.
We'll get back to everyone.
So we're both right.
Who did Derrick Henry throw his touchdown against, do you know? It wasn't that. There's no way.
I'm sure.
I don't know, but there was some sort of trick play.
Probably the Chiefs. When the Chiefs played him, right? Was it one of those where like...
Probably
the Chiefs. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Do they allow
Juju
it?
Or something? Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Anyway, no one cares.
That was the point. The correct answer is really? No one cares.
Oh, you know what it was? I know what it was.
Now we need to know. What was it?
Braxton Berrios,
there
baby.
That's what it was. Of
Braxton
course.
Berrios to Zach Wilson all the way back when those two teams played way back in the day. Remember Zach Wilson catching a touchdown? Did he do the dab after? I mean, the gritty after that?
That was this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jeez. But yeah. Now, when Gus
remember
had,
when Zach got, Wilson was playing football?
It's weird to use the word Zach Wilson and touchdown in the same sentence, guys.
Gus Edwards is so throwing a touchdown this week now.
There's an old Bill Parcells saying, one wrong, all wrong. And the idea was like, hey, if you screwed up once, how can I trust you not to be reliable every time going forward? So for those out there listening and watching, like, Mike messed up one stat, like you have to consider whether Mike is a fantasy analyst you can trust ever again.
Wow.
I mean, I was right.
I mean, you were right to quarterbacks. You're right, 23 to quarterbacks.
That's the stat.
Yeah, there's another phrase that we use here, which is every day is a Geico day on this podcast field. Do you want to go ahead and lead us into that?
You're becoming such a pro. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
All right, Chiefs at Broncos. Coming up next, lineup locks include Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, because of course you do. And Field, I feel like this is, like, I'm just going to echo a thing that I feel like you've said 100 times. Imagine back to week one.
Exactly.
And
that's
you're
what
saying
I was just thinking.
Chiefs and Broncos in week 14.
I was told the AFC West was supposed to be competitive this year,
gosh.
Right? I think with a couple of things going in their favor, the Chiefs can clinch the division as soon as this Sunday. It might be Monday if the Dolphins-Chargers game goes late. But yeah, the Chiefs have a chance to win their 7th straight AFC West title. That would tie the 2nd longest division winning streak in NFL history. Patriots did it 11 straight times.
What do the Broncos have a chance to do?
To
Picking the top 5.
Yeah, okay. Picking the top 5.
Well, yeah. not though.
Russell Wilson.
For they don't.
I don't know. I don't know why this keeps coming to me recently, but I'm on a group thread where it keeps bubbling up. I think it's actually on two separate. Was it our Russell Wilson bathroom thing?
Yeah.
Our Michigan man plus my Nantucket league. The Russell Wilson, will he reach the same number of bathrooms as he has in his house?
Yeah, touchdown passes.
Didn't we talk about?
Yeah.
So that keeps coming up. 12 bathrooms, so he has yet to reach 12 touchdown passes. Oof. But yeah, Stefania, as if things weren't bad enough for Denver, they might not have their top receiver.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton is probably going to miss this game. They will have Jerry Jeudy, though. He is doing better. Expected to play more snaps this week as long as everything goes well today.
Okay.
So we like that. That's good news for them. Didn't we say that Brandon McManus might be the best available player for your fantasy roster on the team? Brandon McManus doing better, and he will play, although keep in mind,
big news,
might be slightly less range because he's not 100% healthy. So we're going to count on that high altitude.
I was going
to
say
a few extra
helps.
Yards.
Yeah. His range is down to 62 yards this week as opposed to 67, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
What about Dulcich, though? Potentially giving them, has been lining up as a wide receiver a little bit more. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
No second highest scoring tight end in fantasy last week. He was the highest scoring until Kate Otten in the last 5 seconds of last week's game or whatever.
But
it was,
if you're
3
desperate,
minutes.
Which you are in the tight end category.
Why did you look at me
part?
When you said
you looked directly
so
at Daniel.
If you're desperate, which you are.
Like just, it was,
no.
I'm accustomed to it.
But you
you're
are
a Lions fan.
No, not towards you, but to others who have occupied the left side of the
chair.
Yeah.
Which you are.
That's funny. How high? Mike, here's a question.
It's the royal you.
The royal you. Without Cortland Sutton, with Stefania saying, how high will Jerry Jeudy rise in this inept offense?
Yeah, so 22nd in my rankings. I'm just slightly higher than you guys. But before the injury, he was good. He was good. Yeah. He had 7+ targets at 4 straight, over 16 fantasy points in 2 straight before that injury. And we talked about this on the CSS DFS pod. There's actually some value in this Broncos offense. Yep. The prices are falling. They're not scoring a lot. But they're going to have to throw the ball a ton against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have allowed the 4th most fantasy points to wide receivers this season. So Jerry Jeudy should be locked into lineups, and I pretty much feel the same about Greg Dulcich as well. As Stefania just mentioned, he is a tight end one option. So in terms of pass catchers, that's it. I'm not starting Kendall Hinton, but Jeudy, Dulcich, fine plays.
Yeah, they are great. And then from the other side field, unless you want to talk about the Broncos more, I think
just the Broncos back. I think both backfields deserve a conversation here because we wondered what it would look like with Mike Boone activated off IR last week and Latavius Murray went on to have 17 carries, and he had four catches on four targets. Now, pretty much every catch that Latavius Murray had or probably will have going forward will just be a busted play where Russell Wilson has to turn it, like just sort of dump it off. But with a bad offensive line and a broken offense, he literally might get 3 to 5 of those per game just with the way that they are playing this season. So I think Latavius Murray kind of held his value last week and should going forward. I think the big question for Latavius Murray is whether he can score a touchdown or not. That's going to make or break his day because the rushing efficiency is going to be very average. And while he may pile up 3 to 4 catches, it might be for like 3 to 4 yards a catch as well.
Yeah, keep in mind, he has no upside. I mean, he's been over 13.5 fantasy points one time in 8 games this season. Yeah. So, and Mike Boone probably is just going to play more now that he's kind of
up
to speed.
Why'd you look directly at Field when you said he has no upside? I don't understand.
Wow. I think you know why.
Wow. All right. Sorry about that, Field. You know who does have some upside, though, Field Yates?
Isaiah Pacheco?
Freaking Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, he's been better
of late.
He's
been coming on looking nice. I have him inside my top 20 at running back. Obviously, I want him to be able to get into the end zone. That's a huge part because he's not catching passes.
He's catching a few more. He has actually been a little bit more in the past, a little bit more involved in the passing game over the past couple of weeks. He actually ran 10 routes last week, which is just 3 fewer than Jerick McKinnon. That was a notable part of the Chiefs' offensive game plan. Also worth noting, and I've said it 5 times, make it a 6th. 6 teams on a bye. So running back 18 is in part reflective of guys like David Montgomery and Jonathan Taylor and Aaron Jones not being available this week. He's a solid play to me. He has found the end zone in back-to-back weeks. That has certainly helped. But eye test is good. Running hard for the Chiefs should command somewhere between 60 and 70 of the running back rushing attempts, maybe even more. Mm-hmm. A few routes sprinkled in there too, Mike. That probably makes
70% of the rushing attempts. You said 60 to 70 of the rushing attempts?
60 to 70% of the running back rushing attempts.
Oh, I thought, I didn't know if you said percent.
Okay, sorry. I may have missed percent, but that was
that's
the implication at least. No, it's all
good. That's on me.
That's on me.
60 carries, you're starting him.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. He would be a lineup block at that point.
He would be a lineup block. Yeah. And he almost is. Like he's
there
getting,
would be
he's
nothing else the entire game except for just
I mean, the average team runs 64 plays a game.
Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce for those 4 plays, are they still lineup blocks?
So are you saying we should bench Mahomes and Kelce?
I don't know.
If you're playing against me, yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's fair.
He's been better, and obviously CEH being out has changed things. No Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
We'll see whether Melvin Gordon's activated this week from the practice squad, but it seems like it's much more of a 2-man backfield right now.
Yeah. I mean, Denver has, you know, if there's any pushback at all, Denver has allowed 5 touchdowns to running backs this season, but they also haven't faced the Chiefs yet. You know,
I hadn't really thought of that. The revenge game. Melvin Gordon off the practice squad against the Broncos.
Yeah. And probably won't be, right? Because the other guys
I would
are healthy.
Think
so,
no,
yeah.
Just to toy with us. That would happen.
Revenge games are always fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move ahead and talk Buccaneers.
And then he would fumble in the Broncos.
40, Stefania. Buccaneers at 49ers, our
big
next matchup
here.
Lineup blocks include Chris Godwin, obviously Mike Evans, CMC, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle.
Not Brock Purdy.
Looks like a clean injury slate heading into this one. Is that
Leonard Fournette, Stefania, right?
Yeah. Leonard Fournette was added Thursday with a foot injury, so keep an eye on it. Never liked the late adds, and he's been banged up a lot lately.
And this is a conversation that we've already been having, Mike, where we've been going back and forth about these two running backs here because we think that the both of them are going to continue to get usage here, but if Leonard Fournette is banged up, that will obviously change things for Rashad White.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things here. Let's assume they're both active for this game for the moment. Last time we saw them, last week, Leonard Fournette outsnapped White 45-31, and that was actually with White starting and getting a bulk of the touches right out of the gate. So I'm still giving an edge in my rankings to Fournette, but White is outplaying him right now. He outscored him in fantasy points last week, so it is close. I'm at 25 and 27. They're both flex options. Keep two other things in mind. Fournette has not really had a big fantasy game in quite a while. Hasn't reached 15 fantasy points. It's week 6. We're in week 14. It's been a while. And two, the toughest possible matchup for running backs by far in this game. Yeah. 49ers, fewest fantasy points, the lowest yards per carry, and the lowest yards per target to running backs. So whether it's in the passing game or the running game, they're the best against running backs this season. A running back has not reached 13.5 fantasy points against him since week 5. So, Stefania, they are dominating.
I'm a little nervous, though, because Nick Bosa has a hamstring injury and hasn't practiced. And I want Nick Bosa to play in this game. Mm. And I think it's still a possibility, but makes me a little nervous. Changes defense a little bit.
And I'm nervous. I think we implied it when we kind of groaned when you said Mike Evans is a lineup block. I'm nervous there because so much of his game is down the field. The Bucs right now are such a mess along the offensive line. Whether Nick Bosa plays or not, I expect there to be a lot of dump offs to the running backs. The 49ers are very good in the passing game against opposing running backs. It's just harder to defend dump-off passes than it is the designed arrow routes or option routes or any of the stuff that you see from guys like Christian McCaffrey in the passing game so frequently around the league. And Chris Godwin should see his customary 10 to 12 targets. We'll see whether he scores a touchdown or not. But if you play in a PPR league, Chris Godwin's got a ton of value because he basically is the extension of their running game. It's like 13 targets for a combined 12 air yards.
Mike Evans is that guy that everyone is talking themselves into. You know what? I can start this guy over Mike Evans this week because, like, what's the like? I have so many leagues in which I feel like with Mike Evans, I don't know what to do. I'm choosing Garrett Wilson over him in one of the leagues.
Well, that one's easy. That's easy.
A simple one. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll give you one. Josh Palmer. Okay, but if Mike Williams plays,
yeah, we'll get to that.
I should have threw that caveat in there. If Mike Williams sits, would you play Josh Palmer over Mike Evans?
That's close. I think I'd probably have Evans higher.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, too, the Niners are susceptible to receivers because teams have to throw against them a lot, and they don't want to run against them, so they come out throwing. And this could be one of them games. Miami did this last week, right? They just didn't run it. They barely ran any snaps in that game, but
they had eight rushes by the running backs last week.
But we've seen this from the Bucs since Brady's been there, and we've seen this from New England too when Brady was there. They'll come out and say, we're gonna throw it 90% of the time because of the matchup. They may do that in this game, and that could be 10 targets.
And it could be a problem because Brady can get rid of it quickly, and the 49ers secondary is suspect.
I think their game plan will be super pass heavy.
Yeah, the Bucs. I think so too.
I just want to quickly reiterate when I said I'm starting Garrett Wilson over him, the way that both of you were immediately like, yes, absolutely start that rookie with Mike White under center rather than a Super Bowl, like forever, Tom Brady with Mike
game.
Evans.
Yeah, it's crazy that's
where we're at.
Garrett Wilson rules too. He's been awesome.
Yeah, he has been awesome. We shouldn't be too shocked because, you know, we talk about this all offseason, first round wide receivers.
Pedigree, baby.
Money, and they're paying off. Yep. Well, It's been a little inconsistent, but he's paying off. Chris Olave's been good. Drake London has actually been really good. Just the situation is...
Desmond Ridder, now the new starter. We'll dive into that more next week, obviously, because they don't play this week. But Desmond Ridder taking over, like, I was like, wake me up inside. Let's go.
Pick Drake London back up.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, now.
He's been dropped in your league.
They're still going to run it a lot, but
I know they're going to increase their pass percentage from like 12 to 18%.
It's a good move to take a shot just because they need some life in the passing game.
They need some kind of life in the passing game.
Absolutely. He's a hot ticket I take a shot on.
Hey, you know what? This next matchup is your Week 14 Fantasy Hot Ticket. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. And that matchup is the Dolphins at the Chargers. Sunday Night Football.
What a beautiful game this should be.
Oh, I can't wait. You know what? They stayed out in California, the Dolphins did. And that great move
smart.
By them.
Smart on them.
Really smart by them to stay out in California. Next week's going to be tough for them after they come back after a late night and get back in the early morning hours to the East Coast. But that's for next week. For this week, this was really smart for them to stay out there, get their practice in. You know, they got a couple players who are banged up themselves. But I think Jaylen Waddle is the one who comes to mind because we saw him sort of limping off the field and everything. But I do think that Jaylen Waddle will be able to play. Tua had the ankle issue was listed on the injury report. It's not going to keep him out of this game. On the other side of the ball, Mike Williams, who we were talking about, has been practicing a little bit, but it's still unclear if he's going to play. I mean, doing very little. All the media, really, just to remind people, they can only see when they're working early and they see like individual drills. So when a player's listed as limited, it's hard to know what limited means in practice.
Wait, you're talking about Mike Williams right there?
Yeah.
Wasn't he full yesterday?
He was upgraded to full on Thursday. Yeah.
So it seems like he is trending towards playing on Sunday. We'll see again. It's Mike Williams and it's the Chargers. Yeah. So you never know, but it seems like he is making progress, which is good.
Progress is always hard for me to know with Mike Williams just because of the up and down nature of what's going on.
I mean, nothing would surprise me with him. Yeah. If he was a DMP today in practice, I'd be like, who knows? Remember, this was Keenan Allen, right? At the beginning of the season, this was what happened. So just I don't know.
Really quickly.
They also had, interestingly, because we're talking about, you know, tight ends that you might be looking at as the season goes along. Donald Parham was designated to return from IR, so that I opened his 21-day window. Mm. I don't necessarily think that he returns for this game, but maybe in the last 2 weeks. Again, desperate in the tight end category. as I know you are.
Yes, yes. Lineup locks for this game include, in case you did not see them on the screen, Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle. Yeah. We also have Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, and Keenan Allen. Obviously, if Mike Williams plays, Mike Williams would be a lineup lock for us. If not, the question like we just talked about, Josh Palmer, Field Jace, where would you be at on Josh Palmer? Let's say both if Mike Williams plays and if he doesn't.
If Michael Williams does play, I have him as wide receiver 43, so not a starter in my leagues or in any league unless it's a super deep league. But if he does not play Mike Williams, the matchup is very good. We expect this game to be an extremely high-scoring affair as both teams kind of can take advantage of what the opponent does not do well. The Chargers are especially vulnerable in the passing game in the middle of the field. The Dolphins... you can put points up on the Dolphins. They have been winning games because they have been outscoring teams. So he might be like a top 25 to 30 wide receiver if Mike Williams were to sit. But it seems like right now Mike Williams probably will play. The Dolphins, one of two teams, we'll talk about in back-to-back games, with schedule gripes. I reiterate this. The Dolphins, who have been out there in California all week, have to travel home on Sunday night after a primetime game and then go play Buffalo on Saturday night. Buffalo's playing back-to-back home games. Buffalo hasn't traveled since last Thursday. Miami's going to have to travel all this time. Like, that to me feels a little bit inequitable. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah, you're mad. You've mentioned that before.
I got another one coming up. I got another team coming up in about 2 minutes after we finish this game.
All right, we just need to give Field like a rant segment.
Yeah,
I have heard that the
that wasn't the original scheduling.
Yeah, no, but
they were flexed.
I'm surprised they got flexed the following week too.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's like your day has already been decreased by 4 hours this week,
they and don't then care. It gets decreased. They know people are going to tune in.
Well, no question they will. I think if I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm a little bit disappointed that my team has to go Sunday night, which means we're getting home Monday, like middle of the morning, and then we have to travel on Friday to get to Buffalo, who's been at home since last Friday morning. Just feels a little unfair. That's all.
I don't disagree with you.
Life isn't fair.
One of the things that people have always said is that the schedule makers have a really easy job for the NFL, and so that's one of the things we'll talk about.
Anyways, we'll
dive into that.
Yes. Dolphins running backs.
I do want to ask you this question. If Mike Williams doesn't play and Josh Palmer is your guy, are you playing Mike Williams or Mike Evans, or are you playing Josh Palmer?
I got to think about that one more because I honestly was like, I have not come to a conclusion, which is kind of why I was tossing the air to the masses. Mike was fairly persuasive, though, on the fact that the Bucs are going to throw it a lot.
Yeah, I would lean Evans there. And by the way,
with the run that brought you, right?
Yeah. I'm totally fine with that. And also,
Evans did not bring me here.
Evans. He's a Hall of Fame player, like legendary career. I don't know.
Yeah. I think, and again, I think he's in a pretty good spot in this game. And by the way, Palmer, you know, we're in the 40s and he's been wide receiver 20 since, you know, he's had 7+ targets. What is it, like six, eight straight games? Yeah. He's been really good. But when's the last time we had a full game with Allen, Williams, and Palmer? Was it week 1, I think?
Probably.
Like, I think it was
just
week
hasn't
one.
Happened. It's just different circumstances for Palmer.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about these Dolphin running backs, Field, like you said when we talked about this. Like, it's
just back to the story of the week, right?
I thought it was Jeff Wilson Jr., and now I'm back to not knowing which one of these guys I want to trust the
most. So here's what I did. Last week only, because there were 2 weeks prior to that where Raheem Mostert was out. So let's look at last week to start.
Okay.
Jeff Wilson plays 10 fewer snaps than Raheem Mostert, and he has one touch to Raheem Mostert's 7. So neither one of them was good, but still, 7 touches. At least, I mean, that was a shocker. That I should say one touch was a shocker for Jeff Wilson. You would have thought, like, I don't know, at least 8 to 10 for him. Instead, he got 1. So what do you do with it? How can you possibly play him? But the first 2 games in which they were both there together, when Jeff Wilson Jr. was a newcomer, not Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson Jr. had 10 more touches, had 102 more yards total from scrimmage than Raheem Mostert. It seemed like it had become his job. So I netted out here. It's just an amazingly good matchup. The Chargers are terrible defending the run. They are just so bad. The most yards allowed per carry to opposing running backs, the second most rushing yards per game total. They're bad on the ground. So I made Raheem Mostert my RB22 and Jeff Wilson my RB23.
Yeah,
One spot apart.
Yep, we're very close. Actually, we are exactly the same. I have them in the same spot. And keep this in mind. I just want to say this about the situation. Like, last week was so fluky, right? They ran 44 offensive plays, and to my point earlier, super pass heavy.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was they didn't run the ball, so they weren't going to be a factor there. They only ran 44 plays, and most of them were in the passing game, and they just didn't happen to target the running backs because they were attacking other positions. So very fluky game. I wouldn't be too worried about that.
All right. We got one more to talk about, friends.
Okay.
That's a Monday Night Football matchup between the Patriots and the Cardinals. Lineup blocks for this one include Ramondre Stevenson, James Conner, and DeAndre Hopkins. But Stefania, I have so many question marks about the wide receivers for Arizona.
Don't we all?
I'm just going to let you start with this one.
It's going to be tough because DeAndre Hopkins didn't practice on Thursday because of an illness. So, if you look at like average missed time and that's going around, we've talked about it floating around the clubs. I would assume by Monday he's likely to be fine from that. The bigger question is Rondale Moore, who had the groin injury and has not come back to practice since the bye. And we only get one practice because it's Monday night game, so we really only have Thursday to go by. But when you come out of a bye week and you have a player who's not doing anything at all in practice, it definitely makes you nervous about what the availability is likely to be.
That's how I felt when DeAndre Swift, who I thought was going to get healthy coming out of a bye, was going to be. And when he wasn't, and, you know, obviously limited.
Yeah,
so
different
player, but something that, like, it's hard for me not to be able to look at that and project it a little bit onto Rondale Moore as well. Yeah. When I look at these guys.
Other injuries, though. We have two more from this, I think, that are notable, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought you guys just wanted to talk about
Cardinals. Whatever.
I'm just following your lead. I am just, you know, I'm here to serve.
Nothing like, but
amenable. You tell me when to go.
Okay, let's do the Cardinals wide receivers, then we'll come back to the Patriots. All right, so let's assume Rondale Moore does not play. It's interesting. The most valuable thing the Cardinals have brought from fantasy this season is when they've had one receiver truly and fully healthy, and that receiver got somewhere between like 10 and 15 targets per game, literally up to 15 targets in a game. And you were like, hey, I don't care if they go for 10.5 yards per catch. If I get 11 catches for 122 yards from DeAndre Hopkins, even without a touchdown, that's like a legit top five wide receiver. When you throw a touchdown in there, he'll be the highest scoring wideout in the week. Hollywood Brown, you go way back to the beginning of the season when D-Hop was not available and Hollywood Brown was not hurt. And he was having these mash weeks where he was getting, you know, 11 catches himself in a given week. Now you have two, potentially three available. And I don't want DeAndre Hopkins to have an average depth of target like he did the last time we saw him of 15 yards. I want his average depth of target to be like 10 yards per catch because it's going to be much higher efficiency targets. And that to me is a secret sauce of these two wide receivers. Now, do I still have them ranked extremely high? I do. But DeAndre Hopkins might be a top five play for me, regardless of the matchup, if it was just him or if those targets were expected to be closer to the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. And to your point, Hollywood Brown averaging 10.4 targets per game this season, which is obviously a huge number. And he did play one game with DeAndre Hopkins a couple weeks ago and had eight targets. And that was off the injury. We didn't even know for sure if he was going to play in that game. So that makes me feel good. As long as he's in that 7 to 10 target range, he's going to be startable in fantasy. I'm going to feel good about it.
Yeah, so both very startable. Starting
both of those guys. Just keep this in mind. If Rondale Moore somehow is able to go, and if he's not, Greg Dortch will step in. But Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore have played zero snaps together this season. Yeah. We have not seen that, and it's hard to kind of project what those targets will look like in that situation.
Yeah, D'Amore only had five targets last when these two, when he and Hollywood Brown played their five targets, which one target or one game does not make a sample size, of course, but still, five targets when they've played one game together was not exactly ideal.
Mm-hmm. No, it was not ideal. All right, Stefania, now let's turn it over and talk about some Patriots.
Yes. Well, Jakobi Meyers suffered a head injury in the last game that was played, and he's still in the concussion protocol, not back in practice yet. So I think you can probably plan on Jakobi Meyers missing this game. And then Damian Harris dealing with yet another soft tissue injury. Unfortunately for him, not practicing, but we've already been on the Ramondre Stevenson train anyway.
We have been. We're going to continue to stay on it. Field, I just want to highlight something you said and sort of open the back the floor up to. If you need a desperation tight end this week, earlier this week you had a call about maybe Hunter Henry not being a bad option.
Feeling frisky. Yeah, so Hunter Henry, who's a good player. The problem is that they have two tight ends for the Patriots, obviously, who get snaps. But the Cardinals have been the gift that keeps on giving. It is a fact. It is the time of the year when we are reminded it is better to give than it is to receive.
Yep.
And the Cardinals have been very generous in that regard to opposing tight ends. If there's no Jakobi Meyers, it should mean that many more targets to go around for other players. Now, those other players might end up being Nelson Aguilar or Tyquan Thornton or something. Being said, it's a real, as Mike and I asserted earlier, the Cardinals are tied for the most passing touchdowns allowed this season, 24 in total. So it's a good matchup. I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots move the football effectively. The Cardinals are the second worst pass defense, second worst red zone defense. There could be some yards and some potential touchdowns. The last time the Patriots were in a soft spot like this, Hunter Henry had one, but should have been two touchdowns and played really well against the Vikings.
You got it. Put 50K down on Hunter Henry anytime touchdown is what feels safe.
I wouldn't necessarily go that big unless you're Al Zeidenfeld.
Unless you're Al Zeidenfeld. A reminder to check out the CSS DFS podcast in case you're into playing daily fantasy. That's it for our list of games, but we're going to take a couple of social questions here first in order to end our Friday show.
Made history. It's 48 minutes into the show and we've wrapped up. This is the secret. This is what happens when you get ahead of things with your Thursday game.
That's there right.
And
that's
producing by Dave Presley.
And not that many good, a bunch of good players hurt. So but you have actually, fewer choices.
We're in a really good spot going forward too, because next week there are three games on Saturday.
On Saturday, yep.
So we'll be able to have much more comprehensive injury updates for those games. The following week, every game is on Saturday except for the three on Christmas Day. And then the weeks after that, I believe there are Saturday games in both week 17 and 18 as well. So we could be...
I think the last week is everybody's
all Sunday.
On Sunday.
That could be
because there's no Thursday, no Monday, and I think they put them all on Sunday. So
right.
We're
that makes sense, actually. Yeah, because I think we ESPN, maybe broadcast a game on... No, we don't. 12:31, that's... I take that back.
Yeah.
Week 17 and 18, they're all Sunday.
Yeah.
Because week 17... The first is the college football playoff semifinals.
Oh,
that's right.
There you go.
So normally there might be a Saturday game, but nope. So, anyways.
All right. So, in case you were wondering what our programming is at the end of the month,
people are sitting here like, God, guys, this is so awesome.
Like, I'm just taking it day by day. You're like,
you guys haven't already won a podcasting award for going through ESPN's programming schedule on New Year's Eve. You guys are now the top nominee.
All right. Thirsty Kyle, let's take some social questions from you, my friend.
Ryan wants to know who you guys are starting at flex. He's got four names here for you. Damian Pierce, Latavius Murray, Michael Gallup, or Darius Slayton.
Mike, you can answer this one.
Damian Pierce. He's, again, not going to go through all the numbers again, but the guy's going to get the most volume here for sure. There's a Latavius. You can't trust Gallup yet. He's coming off the good game, but not a ton of target volume there. Can't buy him yet. I mean, Pierce is still
and
a top 20
run,
play.
And they're going to run the ball anyway.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going
900
Pierce.
Times.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Next one, Kyle.
Kay wants to know, how close are you going to Cook over Singletary in that Buffalo backfield?
Ooh, really close.
I mean,
Mike and I have it reversed, but it's two spots.
I have Singletary ahead.
Well, it's just about how close. How
right.
Close.
He said how much ahead is Cook over Singletary, right? Oh.
I think we are both two spots apart. I have James Cook 28, Devin Singletary 30. I think Mike said he had Devin Singletary at 27 and Cook 29.
Like it is a toss up. Singletary's a little safer. Cook has probably outplayed him and has more upside, but
very close.
Singletary.
Very close.
Yeah.
All right. Next sec.
We've got a flex question for Nathan. Wants to know if you go either Buccaneer back or DJ Moore as your flex. Who would you pick?
Ooh, that's a good
DJ
one.
Moore with
Sam Darnold under
one.
Center now.
I just go Moore.
I'd probably go Moore.
Again, that 49ers matchup is so bad, as Mike just highlighted, and you know each of them could play exactly half the snaps.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question about Leonard Fournette.
If Leonard Fournette flat out doesn't play, even though it's a bad matchup,
then I would go Rashad White. Yeah,
because
he'll play. He might play 80% of the snaps.
Exactly. All right. Fair. Kyle, next one.
Last one here comes from Dan, who's a chat superstar. He's in here every day. He wants to know what we have to do to get more prison Mike swag like we've had today.
We've had plenty of prison Mike swag.
I got a shout out. Is Dan the same one who had the tweet about the Shawshank predictions?
I was just going to say
so
that.
Good.
That was so good.
So good.
We might have to turn that into a segment.
Shawshank prediction.
You don't say like, I'm going to turn it into my own segment. You let other people say that.
He said it. He said it. I was like, that is brilliant. I wish I remember who said it.
Humility.
Yeah.
Bring back not prison. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Shawshank projections. That's brilliant.
That's so good. That really is good. But did we answer the question?
What was the question? I was just shout out to Dan for being in our chat every day.
He just said,
can we get more prison Mike?
We just need to be in a weekly go-karting.
You just got to boost my ego.
Really brought it out.
Mario Kart count, that's a little bit easier to execute.
That's an off-season show. We'll just play Mario Kart.
We'll just bring it up, throw it on the big screen here.
Hold on, you don't call it Mario.
He does call it Mario.
I do.
He does.
It's not.
Mario?
It's Mario.
It's Mario. This is not hard, right? Like, this is not like...
Okay, Brett Yates. Okay.
Wow. Gosh, you have fighting.
Oh,
all
no,
week.
Our producer just chimed in the Mario Presley. That is not fair. No,
that's because he's from England.
He's British. Yeah.
that's just
his accent. Don't worry. Yeah. He knows it's Mario. Yeah. I think there's one thing I did want to mention on the news front that I think we implied yesterday, but just another day, Stefania, of no Kenneth Walker III on the field for the Seahawks.
Yep. And another day. And
certainly sounds like there's a chance he will sit. If pressed to start a running back and there is no Kenneth Walker III, my gut call right now is Travis Homer. Mike, yes. How do you feel about this one?
Probably Travis.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on SportsCenter in a little while and answer that question. So make sure you tune in.
Hold
on.
Oh my gosh,
Dan.
He is kidding.
In case you were wondering
Dan.
About
so good at playing
Dan, PM Eastern. Look at what you have done to our Mike Clay, who used to be this sweet, hardworking, grateful to be a part of the team.
Very wholesome.
Mike Clay,
yes.
Look at what you have turned him into. You've created a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the bandana?
By Travis Homer.
Wow. Bring it back.
Bring the bandana back. That's
Travis Homer. Did
it's
I
Travis
beat
Homer.
Shefty?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Shefty beat me. Shefty's definitely taking him for long shots on Sunday.
Probably. I'm with you because DJ Dallas hurt as well.
He's not practicing
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, it sounds like neither of those guys. So it would be Homer and it would be Tony Jones.
With Wayne Gallman.
They like Homer a lot from the U.
Yeah.
We like him. And Homer, by the way, this is such a small...
We don't talk about the U much anymore, though.
Yeah, we don't.
Such a small sample. Okay, so I'm just having a little fun with this. But since Homer's been in the league, if you take every running back that's had at least 70 carries, he's fourth in yards per carry. He's at like five and a half. He's been effective.
Oh my gosh.
He's been effective when he's run the ball and really good as a pass catcher. Again, smaller sample, but he's got like 90% of his targets and he's been used more in that department. He's been really good. So if he gets 15 touches, he's going to be an RB2. So it's a guy that's available in 97% of ESPN leagues. You could scoop him up and maybe have a starting option.
Okay, there you have it. Travis, yeah, I mean, I took the very proactive measure in a league of grabbing all three backup Seahawks running backs. I have a league where I've just got like my starting lineup is really pretty much set it and forget it every single week. And I don't have any players that I absolutely start that are going on a bye this week. I don't know how I avoided that in just one league. So my bench was very fluid and I just grabbed all three.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, just take it by hour and figure it out. Yeah.
I've been told it's an hour by hour kind of sport.
It's like Joe Mixon, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's,
Joe Mixon.
That's what I've been told.
Full practice in full again.
Except he wasn't.
All right, that's going to do it for our Friday show. Come back on Sundays for Fantasy Football Now.
Do we know for a fact if Mike will be there?
No, we don't.
Okay, because there's a possibility Mike will have graduated from ESP. He could be on Good Morning America on Sunday morning. He could be
doing a show from the moon.
He could have his own like special. Yeah, a show from the moon.
Shawshank Projections is my new show. Coming to ESPN Minus.
ESPN Minus Plus.
Yeah.
ESPN Minus Plus.
We got a big deal
What's
lined
that
up
cost
for
these days for a month.
We send you $4.99.
That's what it is. That's what I was going to say. Pay me to it.
We pay you to tune.
That's what it is.
Oh,
thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love the fact that you spend so much time with us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. You have earned that. We cannot wait to see you on Sunday. Good luck here in week 14. We'll see you guys.
We set such a good example of loving each other here.
We do.
Yeah. I mean, you, me, and Dan. Will do. Meanwhile, Mike over there is just like,
I was feeling good today, and he comes in and calls me an idiot tells me not to suck 2 seconds before the show.
Well, you didn't do a very good job of that.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.